You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome to Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
Yeah, he's back.
It's a man without a mask.
The man behind... Fucking Alice Cooper song's like kicking my head.
You're welcome. By the way, speaking of Alice Cooper, wow, I already see how this episode's going. New Judas Priest album? Fucking stellar.
Really?
They still got it.
Speaking of which, have you heard the new Five Finger Death Punch song with DMX?
No.
Oh, after this is over, well, you got to listen to it. It's you know, posthumously featuring DMX called This Is The Way.
All right.
It's pretty badass. I think it just came out like Monday or Sunday or something like that. So, what are we smoking this week, Brad?
Wasabi.
Wasabi. Going back to those, yeah, 90s commercials or yes. Early 2000s, whenever it was, the WhatsApp.
But yeah, I mean, no joke. We have the Espinosa Wasabi. Note, not made with actual wasabi. Although I will say that it's a spicy stick. Like, most of the time, you know, I'll talk about cigars having a black pepper taste or something to that effect. This is more of... a red pepper, possibly even a cayenne. Like, it's prominent.
Yeah. We got a green candela wrapper leaf over a dark habano leaf. Binder and fillers are undisclosed. But yeah, they're saying...
Dun, dun, dun. That's where the wasabi is.
Yeah, they're saying, you know, kind of a black pepper... And even a fresh jalapeno, like, is the flavor profile that they're trying to get. So yeah, supposedly a spicy stick, and you know how we like spicy. So I was like, fuck, I gotta try it one way or another.
The only thing that's weird to me is the candela, but I get it. You know, you're trying to go for the green of the wasabi, I suppose. I mean, it's, dude, we missed
the candela has that kind of grassy hay-like flavor profile.
No, we completely missed the mark. We have failed us cigar nerds.
What's that?
Because we should have had a wasabi, a bento box, and, you know, one of the...
Year of the Dragons. Whatever. Yeah, we get all the... Mix this in with all the Chinese New Year's punch cigars. We get like a full Chinese menu meal.
Of cigars. Because we're well-traveled. Like
yeah.
That.
We're internationally known.
By that one guy.
Yeah. Hey, according to my YouTube stats, we got some English. It's like the two most downloaded countries, like USA and the United Kingdom. So I didn't see many Chinese on the list, but I think we had some Korean last time. One time I looked at it, there was a couple Korean hits for some reason.
Does that mean we got to start a K-pop band?
Hell yeah. What was that name we had the other night? Murder Boner? That'll be our
Damn
K-pop
it.
Band.
I'm still working on the copyright. Don't give it away.
Wow. Yeah, I just got a hit of that pepper. There's like just a little bit of... I wouldn't call it heat, but there's like that little burn in like the back of the throat. Just like the... Kind of like the...
I mean, I get it on the tongue, the
like
lips,
the,
and
like
the
a,
retro
like a
hell
pepper aftertaste.
The retro hell with this guy is pretty spicy.
Well, speaking of retro, new retro even, this week we're going to be talking about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And if you got to fight off a Sumerian god, you should call in the Strike Force, strikeforceenergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Get all jacked up on that caffeine, man. Yeah, and small enough to fit in a ghost trap.
What about a ghost trap drone?
I've been wanting a drone. I might have to, like, build me a ghost trap drone.
tried to fly one of the little, like, pocket drone things.
Yeah.
Dude, I realized, like, I'd probably be very bad at RC cars, too, because it's like, look, it's just going to hover. You don't need to, but I feel like I need to do all the things all the time.
Yeah, it's like, you got to, if you let go, it does nothing. You just got to let go. Oh, yeah, because I used to race RC cars, but it's been a long time, and I've never tried flying one of the, because every time I see videos of those racing drones, I'm like, man, I want one of those. Those look cool as shit, flying with, the, like, the VR goggles. So you get that, like, first person. It's like you're playing fucking F-Zero back in the day, but in the real world. But with that, we're going to be right back with some Ghostbusters. Welcome back. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters?
Yeah, sure.
Because there's something strange?
In their neighborhood. And who you gonna call?
The one Ghostbuster.
So, yes, we got Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, sequel to, well, all the previous Ghostbusters, except for that one that we don't talk about. But, you know.
Which one's that? Is that the one I didn't see?
Yes, the one I didn't see either.
Okay. So we can't talk about it.
The one that's, like, you know, not part of the canon, as far as we know.
Rachel said she liked that which shall not be named, but...
Of course she did. She doesn't like anything we like. If she likes it, usually that's... Oh, yep, that's a sign. It probably sucks.
She doesn't like me either.
Welcome to my world.
It's dark and lonely.
Yeah, it's like, you know, my wife tells me all the time, she's like, I love you, but I don't like you very much.
Fuck it, I'm going to the cigar shop.
It's all part of my plan. If you annoy them, they won't call asking when you're coming home. Hey, thank God that fucker went to the cigar shop. I ain't got to deal with him.
How was anything ever going to get done?
I didn't say it was a winning strategy. Yeah, shit's not going to get done, but at least you're not going to be around to deal with it. Yeah, so sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife from 2021. This one with a different... I didn't because whatever, Jason Reitman wrote and directed the previous installment where he wrote the screenplay for this one, but it was directed by a Gil Keenan. So I could definitely kind of, I don't know, this one had a different feel than Afterlife. A little bit less personal, I guess.
Yeah, I mean...
So I can kind of, now that I know it wasn't directed by Reitman, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see why there's just, it has like a different kind of feel because there's a different director involved.
Yeah, I mean, for what it was, I mean, I enjoyed it. Too much of a Stranger Things direction, though, more so than... Ghostbusting.
Well, it's got Finn Wolfhard in it, of course. Because everything is Stranger Things, Phil.
And then the ghost love story thing. I'm not even sure what to make of that. The identity crisis. Like, you're a ghost. I want to be a ghost. Let's be ghosts together.
Yeah, this is
the Juliet and Juliet story. There was no Romeo.
So, this one brings us back to good old New York and the firehouse. And
I mean, it was cool seeing the firehouse.
And freaking OG Slimer chilling in the chilling in the attic. I gotta rewatch Afterlife because Afterlife focused on the kids and, you know, being the descendants of Egon, where our OG guys didn't show up to the very end. Where this one,
they're sprinkled.
A little more involved. I mean, especially Dan Aykroyd, Ray is you know, kind of plays the mentor role here and there, and of course, you know, Winston is the he's like, by the way, I know I gave y'all this firehouse and y'all are the new Ghostbusters, but really I've got a whole Ghostbuster organization that's going to be supporting all this. Y'all are the face, but yeah, I've got actual scientists and engineers building the next generation of ghost shit.
That was the end of your thought.
Yeah.
My bad. I totally missed that cue.
But I did the whole paranormal research society or whatever when the containment unit is breaking down. They're like, yeah, it's there's 40 years worth of ghosts in there. And they're like, did y'all never plan to if this thing got full? They're like, dude, it was the 80s. No one was really worried about the future. But I've already built a new one, so no worries. Come check out this. I didn't want to tell y'all about this until it was all done, but yeah, come check out this whole fucking ghost research thing I've been working on.
I guess the ghosts have mass and volume. Ectoplasm is a thing. I guess. We know. 40 years. That's about how much your average containment unit can withstand.
I mean, usually if you're not on public sewer, you got to empty out that whatchamacallit.
You mean it doesn't biodegrade or break down or something?
I mean, it does to a point, but at a certain point, you got to get the old septic tank flushed occasionally. So that's basically what this is just their ghost septic tank. Well, I mean, it did get emptied out in the 80s because when Dickless shut the grid down, all the ghosts escape, but they've had to be refilling it since then.
Yeah, see, I thought that was going to be the direction we were going to get was lots of ghosts and it's all hands on deck, but alas, we had a couple of minor ghosts and then tall, dark, and horny.
A couple minor ghost hunts, and then just a whole bunch of
Stranger Things
research on one big ghost.
We had Stranger Things, Joe.
The Jersey sewer dragon or whatever, the big flying ghost they're chasing through the city.
I'm just really disappointed that none of our cars have the, rollout seat.
Yeah, I want a fucking gunner's door. That's that's badass. And because, I mean, when last we saw them, the kids were all being, wannabe Ghostbusters. And now, the two kids, mom and apparently her new husband, fucking... good old Paul Rudd have all become Ghostbusters. And it's them having a family argument while chasing a ghost. I'm going to go outside. You do not open up that gunner's door. I'm a Ghostbuster. I'm going to do it. Damn it. Get back in this car. Can't hear you, mom. I'm outside the vehicle. It's too windy. I can't hear you.
Better to ask forgiveness than permission, I suppose.
And I do kind of the upgrades to Ecto-1, because we saw the RC ghost trap that we saw in the previous movie, but of course they're doing with a flying ghost. It's like, it's outside the range. I can't get it. It's like, hold on. Friggin', now we have a flying ghost trap.
It always goes back to the drone.
And apparently those, like, crappy fake night vision goggles that the Ghostbusters had back then are wired up for VR now, so she can see how she's flying the drone. That's one thing that was kind of cool about this, because, like, they're still rocking the old... I mean, it's been, yeah, like, 40 years. You think the technology would have advanced, but they're still rocking, like, the old original packs, and then, like, once all that shit gets confiscated, and Winston has to show up with his Ghostbusters van with, like, the new shit they've been working on, it's like, all right, yeah, y'all got some... Y'all, you know, got that new shit. I mean, they even had,
well,
like...
you know what it is. It's not so much that, you know, the technology evolved. It's, ah, crap. They can see us buying shit.
We need more merchandising.
Quick! I'd be curious to go down a toy aisle.
I don't know about... Because I haven't been, like, in an actual toy section, but Hasbro has kind of, like, the collector's edition shit. I think it's, like, HasLab. They've got some serious high-end, like, movie-quality
problems. But that's the problem. It's like, I want the $20 counterpart.
Yeah.
Not the $2,000, you know.
Well, they do, like, last time I looked, because they only do them, like, limited releases, they had the new, like, the wand part of the Proton Pack, and it was, like, $150 by itself. But you still had to buy the pack, which I think was another, like, couple $100. And then they had, like, a set that was, like, a PKA Mater and a ghost trap. So, but yeah, it was like, if you're not one of these handy motherfuckers that we see at Dragon Con that build their own proton packs, you can, if you got the cash, can get some officially licensed shit from straight from Hasbro.
I mean, I'm pretty handy, but I severely underestimate how many hours and hours and hours people put into the badass things that I see at cons.
Yeah, it's like, man, that thing costs $1,000, but I'm like, all right, how much is my time worth? If I try to build this myself, yeah, it'll be cheaper, but it's going to take a lot longer.
200 hours later.
Yeah. 3 Dragon Cons later. Hey, I finally finished that thing I started for 3 Dragon Cons ago.
I wonder how often that happens.
Oh.
Where it's like you have this grand thing where it's just like, yeah, this totally doing the thing, and then... crap, I don't have enough time. Pivot to something else.
I think every time we see, like, a costume that's from, like, a viral property that is, like, 4 years old, that's what happened. What is this costume? It's the costume from that movie that came out, like, 4 or 5 years ago. It took me this long to build it.
COVID?
Yes.
That's gonna be my viral costume. I'm literally going to go as a virus.
I think I saw a couple of those last year.
I mean, how long has it been since we had a COVID?
Did we?
We had the flu, Joe, but...
the butt flu.
Still called COVID. Made my head hurt. Gave it to all of my friends.
Haha, I didn't get it. We're not friends.
We are sworn mortal enemies. Frenemies?
It's the power of the smoke. The power of the smoke will protect you.
I mean, I was smoking hella cigars all throughout, you know, that bullshit. And then I would get it years later when it's off the map and I'm not smoking near as many cigars.
That's why I never got it. It was like I was... I always kept my lungs
you
full.
Can't infect what's already infected by smoke.
There's a nice crusty layer over my lungs that protects it from other things. They're nice and caramelized.
My lungs have Kevlar. Whoa. Lung Kevlar.
Oh. But yeah, we, this one was just loaded with, like, I felt like they did, like, The last one, there was...
a continuous story.
Yes, where this one, there was a lot of, like, little side quests, and it seemed like there was a lot of shit that was just like, oh, we're doing this strictly for the nostalgia that we didn't include in the first one.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of...
I felt like Reitman wrote a good love letter to the fans, and then this second movie, they're kind of like, all right, the last shit was successful, now we need to capitalize on the nostalgia and just throw a bunch of, like, rando shit in here. Because, I mean, it seemed like there was a lot of, like, skits.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing. Like, you had, you know, the female, you know, ghost love story aspect. You had what's-his-face that, you know, was present, but what was his arc in all of this?
He was just like, I'm 18 now. Y'all should let... I'm a grown-ass man. Y'all should let me drive the car. And then he's like, hey, Mom, there's like a ghost in the attic. She's like, well, you're a ghost, but you're a grown-ass man. Why don't you go take care of it? You're like, fine, I will. And you get his whole little side story of him, like, constantly trying to, like, Wile E. Coyote catch the Slimer and getting... But he never did, like... He never said the thing. He's like, he never said, like, he slimed me, right? I mean, he gets slimed and he just goes, yep. And I'm like, no, dude, say the thing. You gotta say the thing or you don't get the full nostalgia points.
That's the next film. They had to save some parts of nostalgia, but... You know, that was the other thing is, you know, the rest of it was, hey, we're just going to sprinkle in, you know, nostalgia for the sake of nostalgia, which was cool to see as a fan of, you know, the OG Ghostbusters and everything. But I don't know. I'm with you. Like this, I had it in my head that, hey, we're Ghostbusters and it was going to be focused all on the team. But it was like, nope. We're going to focus on separate aspects of each individual within the teams.
Yeah.
That's me calling the ghost.
I mean, we've gotten... It's three-ish years later from the things that happened in the previous movie. So we kind of, I guess, skipped over the training montage. But I would have liked to have seen, like, Winston more hands-on. Like, all right, you're all the new Ghostbusters... Let me train y'all to be Ghostbusters, and we jumped directly into them being Ghostbusters.
Well, not really. I mean, apparently you got to be 18.
Yeah. But I would like to have seen more of, like, the OG guys, like, actually training the new Ghostbusters. like a Ghostbusters police academy.
Them OG guys be expensive, okay?
Yeah. That's why you only get a Venkman in, like, two scenes. You get him, like, you know, doing the interview with Kamal Nanjiani to, like, see if he's possessed. And then he shows up at the end for the final battle where you find out he's been hiding whiskey in the power box. He's like, oh, it's still here. My liquid courage.
Ghostbusters, powered by whiskey since 1984.
Oh. And of course, you know, Ray's gone full YouTuber with his, like, tales of the unknown where people come to see if they've, if their objects are haunted.
We need a hammer.
Oh, it's not haunted. And, like, smash at the sledgehammer. Sorry, the hammer gets the clicks. As a wannabe YouTuber myself, I'm like, I feel you, kid. Sometimes you got to do dumb shit to get the clicks. Look, every time I say something stupid and I piss people off and they argue with me, I'm like, yes, yes, feed the algorithm.
Engage.
Let the hate flow through you.
Doesn't say it's got to be positive.
Nope, they just want that interactions. I felt like you're talking about how the kind of disconjointed the whole thing was with these little kind of individual side quests everyone was doing. We got our other two characters from the last movie that they just kind of... We jumped from Oklahoma back to New York, and then we had to, like, all right, we got to figure out a way to include these two new characters that we introduced in the last movie. So, of course, I can't remember her name now, but the, you know, their friend they made, Lucky. Yeah. She's like apparently interning at this, paranormal research center, and testing out the new ghost busting equipment. We had that cool, like, wrist blaster thing, which I'm pretty sure was like in some of the animated stuff. And then, of course, Podcast is now, interning at Ray's shop, helping him with his YouTube channel.
So one thing I was thinking about this, I was really getting like 13 Ghost type vibes when they showed like the engineering firm and, you know, their lab,
yeah,
and everything
little
all the glass, you know, containment units. I was like, fucking 13 Ghosts.
Yeah. Now you mentioned that. Yeah. That I did like the, cause they got like the different, cause it's the building's in a former aquarium. So they basically got ghosts and fucking aquarium exhibits, and you're like, now we don't just have to bust them. We can study them and learn more about them. And we've got, you know, all these different scientists working on this shit. But I like the possessor ghost that could just reanimate any inanimate objects. And they got him like a fucking 1970s like living room set. He's just jumping around from like toy to toy, the phone to. It's like just an angry little ball of light.
It's like, behave. I'll give you a toaster. A toaster? That would have been a cool guy to have on the team.
That's one thing, you know, all this nostalgia when they all get arrested, and again, because it's not a Ghostbusters movie unless somebody gets arrested, and the mayor's threatening to shut them down. I was waiting for their high-powered attorney to show up and, like, you know, get them off. That's the only guy we've not seen a cameo in the new Ghostbusters is what's his name?
Fuck.
The Keymaster. Lewis Tully. Because in Ghostbusters 2, he went from being an accountant to a lawyer. Like, you know, Winston became like this big business guy. I would have liked him to like showed up because he was a shitty lawyer in number 2. I would like him to have showed up and been like an actual high-powered attorney at this point and been like, no, I'm serving the city with this injunction. You can't fuck with the Ghostbusters. That would be, I mean, I know the dude's kind of retired from acting at this point, but come on, that would have been awesome to have him just show up there at the end and be like, no, I'm stopping the firehouse has now been declared a historical landmark and y'all can't fuck with it. Fuck off, Dickless.
Yeah. I don't know. It's the same. It's like the Spider-Man effect. It's like no good deed goes unpunished. It's like, yeah, you know, we saved the city, possibly the world, but we're right back to square one in your eyes. Great.
Yeah, because it's all about that collateral damage.
Oh. Now I want a sweet proton pack.
All right, well, let's jump back to the pre-credits of the movie with the Gentlemen Explorers Club in 1904, where NY Fire Department gets called to a guy's freezing to death in the middle of July. Because everyone in this room is like... And the effect of the guy who is like completely frozen and his hand has snapped off, and it's still turning the damn crank on the on the old-timey record player.
Yeah,
I
mean, that was the thing.
That's cool shit.
They didn't skimp on any of the effects, you know, like...
Yeah, even like the ghosts themselves, I mean, I was like, man, the technology has advanced so much that like the fucking flying dragon through New York, I was like, all right, this is cool as shit. I mean, even fucking, yeah, I think Slimer's gotten a little fatter. You know, he's been putting on some weight, but homeboy looked good. I'm like, oh fuck, man, there's Slimer. And he even kind of showed up and like helped out a little bit and like, you know, fucking came after the when the demon showed up.
Like, all the other ghosts are like, oh, shit, the big bad's free.
And, of course, those stupid fucking little mini... The mini, Stay Puft guys are... They're so stupid,
dude.
But they're awesome.
I would love to see, like, fuck the minions, right? Like, give me a Stay Puft Marshmallow series, or you know, like,
yeah, I'm surprised that's not like a new animated series coming soon. Is like this the adventures of the fucking Stay Puft, like, dude, like, fucking sticking his face in the cigarette lighter, just burning the rings.
How many kids are like, what happened here? I don't understand.
Yeah, like, what is that?
Yeah.
Why is there a hot coil in the car? Well, kids, back in the day, cars used to come with lighters and ashtrays.
And cup holders.
You know that thing where you plug your cell phone in the car? Used to, you would stick a plug in that, and it would get hot, and you could light your cigarette with it. We're old.
And they work with cigars, too. Sometimes, though, you gotta, you know, go back for a second, third round. Of... Yeah.
Depends on your ring gauge. Yeah. You gotta get a smaller cigar to fit in those old school lighters. I mean, I think the last time I saw one in a movie was like Deadpool, when he like is in that car fighting those assassins, and he like grabs the freaking cigarette lighter and sticks it in one dude's mouth. I'm like, does cars still have those? It's like, I haven't seen one of those since like the 80s.
It's an optional accessory.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I saw... It was probably like the late 80s, the last time I had a vehicle that had one of those included.
I got in somebody's old car that had one, and guess what? My first instinct was push the button. Like, I can remember, like, my parents, like, going to the grocery store or something and be like, okay, stay in the car. Sit there and just push it, see how hot you can actually get it.
Yeah, kids, and when it got hot enough, it would pop up. That's how you knew it was time to light your
yeah, but then
you
just
cigarette.
Push it in and hold it.
Fucking thing melts down.
I just start blowing fuses. Dad's like, you been playing with a cigarette lighter? No. Of course he'd take it out and be like, Are you lying? No.
Yes.
Like, thinking you're going to talk your way out of it? No. No chance in hell. I'm the reason your fuse went bad.
Yeah. And we've got the random inclusion of Kumail Nanjiani as Nadim, who is the Fire Master. Apparently he is the great-grandson of the girl who you saw in that kind of the Frozen sequence. She was like some kind of mystic, and she was the one who trapped said god, or at least was like her family was keeping said god trapped in the fucking Rubik's Cube of Death.
Dude, that looked like a hard puzzle to solve. Like, I'll fuck up a Rubik's Cube. That thing had a whole lot of other variables.
Yeah, they should have had the fucking Hellraiser puzzle box in that in that room when they find him. Because, yeah, he tries to sell it to Ray, because Ray's collecting occult things for his YouTube channel. And so he sells that to Ray, because he's like, I just eBay shit. Like, I inherited this apartment. There was a fucking temple hidden in the closet with a bunch of spooky shit. And I decided to get $50 out of it. And turns out I unleashed a god.
Oops.
Tall, dark, and horny.
Well, I mean, you know, his quest was to find the horns.
And I do like that, you know, once he's freed, like, the first thing he's like, all right, the only person who can stop me is the Fire Master. I must kill the Fire Master. So he just goes to some place called Fire Master Vapes. Which, of course, that's the name of a vape shop. And it's like, are you the Fire Master? That's what the fucking sign says, dude. And then it's like, ksh, and like freezes everybody. It's like, wrong Fire Master, dude.
It's funny. You don't even need fire for vapes. Gosh, what an idiot. Can you call yourself a god?
Yeah, I mean, they should have named the story the, like, Cloud Master or something. Puff the Magic Dragon.
Stay puffed. It's now a vape shop.
Stay puff puff passing.
I think Snoop's already got a trademark on that, man.
Probably. He does have his own weed company. Well, then so does Mike Tyson. You can even get Mike Tyson, because Gurkha released that Mike Tyson cigar, and when trying to Google information on the Tyson cigar, I came across his like weed company, and he has edibles that are gummy ears.
I mean, that's how much more nostalgia do you need? Just bite it like a champ.
Oh. I bit his ear.
You can't prove it. Those aren't my teeth marks.
But you allude to our Juliet and Juliet story of, you know, once they get in trouble for breaking up, you know, fucking up the city, Phoebe gets, played by McKenna Grace, gets sidelined because the mayor's like, she's not 18, she can't be a Ghostbuster. So, yeah, previous movie, she's playing chess with Ghost Grandpa, so she's like, goes to the park at night to try to find somebody to play chess with, and a ghostly teenager shows up and plays chess with her.
Hold on. Was that Ghost's granddaughter?
No.
We're positive?
Yeah. She was alive.
I mean, I know we
it
had...
It was the friend that was the ghost. But then again, she tries to turn herself into a ghost, like...
Well, no. I'm not talking about Phoebe. I'm talking about the ghost girl. Was that the grandfather passing on the chess lineage, and now her arc is, oh no, I'm over here on this realm, and I want to cross over to the other side, but all I have is my lonely match.
Yeah, supposedly she, that's why she was kind of cursed to hold that, can't get rid of that match, because she was apparently playing with matches and burned her apartment complex down, killing her family, and... But, you know, her soul was could not rest. All she can do is, like, haunt people in the park. Yeah. And, of course, like, they're playing chess, and she, like, appears, and she's like, boo. And she's like, yeah, whatever. She's like, you're not scared? Most people, like, run away. She's like, no, I'm just kind of pissed you beat me at chess. Let's get another game going. It's like, you're not the first fucking ghost I've seen, lady. Like,
I do this on the reg.
But how weird would that be to be, like, you know, a ghost to, like, to come across someone who... just does not give a fuck. I mean, she is a little bit, you know, on the spectrum. So Ari doesn't really have, like, normal emotional response is the thing. But then it's like, you know, ghost show up and be like, hey, what's up? I feel like a ghost showed up here, I'd just be like, hey, what's going on, dude?
Are you?
Boo. Yeah, whatever.
Are you a friendly ghost? Are you a murder ghost?
You have murder boners. Yeah, but that whole story got a little weird because I was like, all right, is this like she's the only person that understands me? Is this other, I can only talk to this other ghost teenager to the point where I'm like, she gonna make out with that ghost? Like, I kept waiting for like a ghost make out scene.
Yeah, I kind of felt like if it had drawn on, that's, but then again, like, maybe I was just reading way too much into that. And
yeah, maybe I've just read too much fan fiction at this point, and I'm just like, uh-oh. Are we about to have a ghost love story?
Reminds me of an Insane Clown Posse song.
All right. That's not a reference I was expecting to get today.
Well, I mean, they were talking about being in love with a ghost. So, you know, you brought up a ghost love story. Reminded me of that song. That's how we got there today. Okay. It's really Faygo in my cup.
But yeah, you get all the, you know, side quests because you got kind of like Stranger Things. All the little groups get get broken up, and they all got to go on their own side quests. So Finn's character, him and Lucky and the engineer guy go to interview the origin of the mysterious orb and go meet Nadim. And then you've got Phoebe and Ray and Podcast going to, like, all right, we found this audio that only the ghosts can hear. Let's go do research. And they go back to the old original library from the first Ghostbusters. And, like, they've even got the original, like, librarian who's like, Dr. Stance, you're not allowed within 50 foot of this library. He's like, don't worry, they love me here. And he just, like, walked right past the guy. Like, they got the same guy. Sweet. And you find Patton Oswalt is the language expert. And like you were saying, they're like, now that I know, like, every library has, like, if you, the real library, like, it's like the ground floor is for tourists. You got to go to, like, the basement area to find all the cool shit.
Yeah, that's going to be, next time I need to visit a library, I'm going to be like, look, I want to see the shit. And you know what it's going to be? They're going to take me to, like, a back room somewhere, and it's going to be newspaper clippings.
Here's the microfilms. Maybe you got to go outside of, like, you got to go to, like, a big city that has, like, a big library to find the...
Or just a really haunted place.
Yeah, where's the old section where they have the...
I want to go to the original books and glass Salem. Cases.
I did like, because, you know, he shows them the... He's like, oh, this language is a dead language, but it's, you know, referenced from this orb is referenced all the way back to, the, you know, long ass time ago. And the last time it showed up was in 1901 when this whole room of people, like, froze to death in the middle of July. And we have the recording that they were playing. And of course, you know, the possessor has snuck along for the ride and to steal the magic incantation that can open the trap. And as they're chasing him through the library, you see the reader ghost is still there in the library, the one from, like, the original Ghostbusters. And, like, Ray stops, is like, oh shit, it's her. And she, you know, turns around and does the scary thing again, which when I was a child, that scared the fuck out of me.
Oh yeah,
the first time I saw that.
Like, Ghostbusters, like, it had its moments, like, it's lighthearted, blah, blah, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, fuck. Not a friendly ghost.
Get her. That was your whole plan, Ray. Get her. I did like Ray's motorcycle, because that kind of reminded me of Ecto-2 from the animated series. Like, it had, like, a built-in fucking proton pack and shit in the sidecar. I was like, all right, that's badass. The Ecto chopper. I was just waiting for the Ecto, like, helicopter from the animated series. It was, like, part helicopter, part motorcycle. I was waiting for that thing to, like, take off flying.
Yeah, where are all the badass toys? Like, there used to be so much cross-merchandising with everything.
I mean, they got a Lego firehouse. You can
yeah, get. What is that, $1,000?
Probably. Legos aren't for kids anymore.
No, it can't be.
Because they're all, like a couple $100.
Not to jump ahead on your science or anything, but, like, I think they did a study... And the average attention span has dropped from, like, 30 seconds to 8 seconds.
I don't doubt it, because...
Well, I mean, think of, you know, all the fucking TikToks and all the shorts. What do people do? Just sit there and 4 seconds scroll, 4 seconds scroll, 4 seconds scroll, like...
Oh, yeah, it's like the fucking TikTok generation. Even, like, you know, making YouTube stuff, until I started making shorts, like, my engagement went way up when I started making, like, the minute or less videos, because... That's what they're all geared toward now, is that's what gets the views, because anything over a minute long, people's like, I ain't got the attention span for that shit.
Ah, information overload.
Yeah, we're old. TikTok's ruining this generation.
Get off my lawn. I inhaled way too much pollen and eclipse air today.
You eclipse so hard.
I mean, I did go out and stare at the sun. I was like, yeah, it's doing that thing. All right. That's really bright. Even though it's not so bright.
Yeah, I went out and used my steampunk goggles because they were like originally welding goggles before they got steampunked up. And I was like, I don't have any of those like sunglasses. I'm like, oh yeah, I got these welding goggles. So I'm like walking around the yard with freaking steampunk goggles on, looking at the sun like an idiot. I'm like, yep, there's an eclipse.
I'm a time traveler.
I didn't get any superpowers, though, that I know of so far, so I'm disappointed in that.
You just said that you know of. You haven't unlocked your potential yet.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, burp, and it's going to, like, fucking flames are going to come out here. I'm like, light my cigar with my mind. I'm going to get some bullshit useless superpower that's not going to do me any good.
Dude, you're going to sit there with a fucking candle, be like, okay, pass the flame. Pass the flame.
Yeah, they're like, you know, you're the descendant of the Fire Master. You know, you're the only ones that can stop this ghost. So we need you to unlock your powers. Like, come on, man, just light the candle. You can do it. Light the candle. And he's like, look, I can make the Zippo move. And you're like, is that all you can do? Well, it just started. All right, buddy, keep working it.
We're not on a time crunch. It's fine.
Just keep practicing. Oh.
This generation's so soft.
But you do get, Venkman interviewing him. Kind of like, got the flashback of him and Lewis Tully. He's even got the fucking strainer on his head. And he's like, I don't know what's going on, man. I'm just sitting in a weird office with you guys with a strainer on my head. And he's like, this is like, yeah, expensive scientific equipment here, bro.
Apparently that was a good way to view the eclipse.
Through your strainer hat?
No, not through the hat. Just use the strainer. Mm-hmm. Look at the half moons. Or colander. Not necessarily a strainer.
Yeah, colander. That's what those things are called. And I remember seeing a guy at Dragon Con, one of those, and I'm like, all right, are you Doc Brown or Lewis Tully? Because I can't tell. You've both got weird, like, strainers on your, you know, colanders on your head.
And no tinfoil.
Turns out it was Lewis Tully. It was not Doc Brown.
Spoilers of a Dragon Con long, long ago.
Oh,
people are like, what did we just miss?
So what did I miss? Because when they went to the library and he starts like telling them about the demon, that's when I went to go pee. And when I came back, that was when the possessor was stealing the tape. So I missed the whole explanation of the fear demon.
I mean, not really. It, because this thing was so skit oriented. Is that what we're gonna go with now?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what we're going with. It wasn't like there were very few, like, you had to be there pivotal moments for this. I mean, so it was more so like, hey, here's the backstory. Okay, great. Oh, shit. Now we're at the lab. Little cube is falling apart. Bad shit's happening.
Yeah, because it turns out her ghost friend is actually in on the whole deal because supposedly
I mean, there was like a little bit of a dialogue where like she goes to the end of the, you know, it's like, I'm working as fast as I can. I need more time. Does it have to be her? Blah blah blah. But
yeah, because apparently, you know, even though
more
they've,
teen angst drama,
they've got the secret password to unlock the box. It has to be a human voice. It can't be a ghost. So basically, she convinces her like, "Hey, we could be ghost friends if you become a." She's like, "I got this machine in the lab that can make me a ghost temporarily," and then basically, as soon as she tricks her into leaving her body, they're able to possess her unoccupied body and get her, make her say the magic words that unleashes the demon.
Now I have the song Waking the Demon.
That was a cool effect, though, when she gets, like, possessed and her eyes goes, like, TV staticky when she gets taken over.
I don't know. I think for me, probably the creepiest thing, the doll. It's definitely had a creepy doll montage in it. By and large, though, the like, I don't know. You know, that's the thing. Like, you know, the effects and everything are spot on. It's just like, I want more ghost busting. Like, instead we had like a drama, like of, well, this is what's going on in my life. Well, I'm over here doing this thing, and I'm over here doing this thing. Ah, the big thing happened. Now we all got to come together.
Yeah, so then all the Ghostbusters...
Ah, the movie ended.
Including Janine shows up and suits up, and like, oh shit, there's Janine finally in the... And yeah, they just happen to have all have uniforms laying around with their names on them, just in case.
Don't worry, there was a special at CentOS, you know, the uniform people.
But hey, when the Possessor took over Ecto-1 and it went like full Christine for a minute, I'm like, you do fuck you, you do not hurt Ecto-1. You better not blow up that car.
So, do you want the Possessor driving Ecto-1? Or do we have What's-His-Face, you know, driving Ecto-1?
It goes full, like, Knight Rider. Like, Ecto-1 just, like, becomes its own thing. Yeah, when the Possessor, like I saw that, like, oh, there's the bag. And it's like, bad things are about to happen. And, of course, like, the famous stone lions come to life, and they gotta blow it up with a proton pack. Maybe that's what happened to the lion down at the Marriott. It got possessed.
Isn't that bad? Like...
So that's what happened to the poop lion downtown, was it got possessed, and that's why it got broke.
Its head fell off.
Which I haven't been downtown in a while. I heard it got rebuilt.
I was down that way not too long ago, but I was on the opposite side of the Marriott. I didn't get to see the lion.
Poop lion gets possessed.
Yeah, can we do, like, a Dragon Con news type thing for that, you know? Dragon Con TV, like, I mean, all you gotta do is have a laser pointer and a lion statue and somebody that can CGI.
Should totally do that. That should definitely be a skit on DC TV this year, is the poop lion getting possessed. Oh.
Poop lion just running amok through Atlanta. There's a lot of Atlanta. Maybe just running amok around the Marriott. Doesn't want to stray too far from his den.
Amok, amok, amok.
I was trying to come up with a theme song for that, but no. No rhythm worked.
But then we get, of course, you know, the demon finally finds his horns and gets full powered and starts creeping down, because apparently when the containment unit blew the first time, it kind of put a little bit of crack in the realities, and he's like, that's I need to blow up the containment unit so I can build my ghost army and open a portal to the other side, and the Ghostbusters have to defend what's left of the and then you get like, all right, the proton packs have no effect on them because it's basically a god. It's like, well, the original Fire Master used brass to kind of contain it. What if we melt down the fire pole? Because it's like, you know, it's brass and it's been in next, you know, ecto adjacent for all this time and has to absorb all kind of like, you know, spectral energy. We can use that to make a new core for the proton pack and.
I have a steampunk core.
Yeah. It'd like, you know, use the a fucking brass-powered proton pack, however that works. I mean, it did fuck up the ghost. But then finally, you know, Ghost Buddy uses her one... Because, you know, finally, like, the fire... He's like, I'm the fire master. I will destroy you. And it's like, oh, shit, my Zippo's out of fluid. It's like, bro, did you run it dry? Well, you told me to practice. And they're like... Is anybody got a light? And Ray's like, sorry, I quit smoking in the 90s.
Hurt is bad for your health.
But of course, Ghost Girl shows up with her one match and is able to light the fire. So between brass-powered proton packs and the Fire Master, they're able to contain the ghost. And they're like, well, the containment unit's basically a giant ghost trap, and now it's empty, so there's plenty of room. And we've got jobs of security, because we just released 40 years worth of ghosts back into New York, so we're definitely going to, you know, have jobs for the next decade while we hunt down all the things that escape the containment
unit. Like, how does that work, you know? Is there, like, ghost rehabilitation where it's like, uh-uh, they put me in the dark for 40-plus years. I'm not doing that again. So now all the ghosts are helpful and assist, you know, the people in New York.
They're like, yeah, we don't want to go back. This thing, too, is like, I get the ghosts that are humans, but what about all these weird ghosts that, like, don't look like people? Like, fucking Slimer and shit. Yeah, who was he, like, before he was dead? Or are these just, like, interdimensional beings that are, you know, some of them are
slug.
Some of them are people ghosts. Some of them are like just, you know, spirits from another plane of existence. So they're not necessarily humanoid. That's nothing. That's not something they ever kind of really explained in the Ghostbusters lore.
That's because you haven't been to the library.
Oh shit! We gotta go to the library. The next movie, too, we have, like, oh, yeah, and at the end, you get fucking Slimer getting chased by the sewer dragon has escaped and is trying to eat Slimer. He's like, fuck, I'm out. There's something bigger than me in this house now. Which is kind of funny, because, like, if you ever watch the old, like, real Ghostbusters animated series, like, that's kind of how, like, after the containment tank blew and all the ghosts escaped, Slimer kind of stayed behind in the firehouse and eventually, like, kind of became, like, their dog.
Yes.
You know, he's like, they made a pet out of him. Like, I'd like to see that, like, them, like, you know, kind of, like, get a little more, like, friend, like, Slimer, like, actually start hanging out and being kind of, like, the mascot and shit, and just, like, you know, just really chilling in the firehouse, you know, it's like, it's funny, it's like, because, yeah, you know, and whatever, Ghostbusters.
Dude, snacks are really expensive.
Yeah, because in Ghostbusters 2, he, like, showed up and drove the bus for, like, Lewis and shit, and it's like, all this time, like, all the Ghostbusters have been retired and the firehouse has just been abandoned until the family moved back in. It's like, Slimer's just been living in the attic chilling all this time under a mound of fucking snacks. Because we know Funyuns don't go bad, so I don't know how old those snacks were, but yeah. He's just living in his pile.
Shit, Funyuns are forever?
This is how I know Funyuns are nothing but preservatives. Well, that one time we went on a road trip to Ohio, you left a bag of Funyuns in my car that was, like, under the seats. And, like, I don't know, 6 months later, I was stuck in traffic because there was an accident on 400. I'm just bored. I'm, like, feeling around my car, seeing what's in it. And I find this bag of Funyuns. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is, like, six-month-old Funyuns. And I'm like, they're still kind of crisp. And I, like, bit into it. I'm like, these taste exactly the same. This open bag has been under my seat for 6 months, and there's no, like, degradation in flavor. It's the same. So if you have an apocalypse bunker, stock that shit with some Funyuns, because that shit does not go bad.
Yeah, dude. Funyuns and Mountain Dew.
It's just all preservatives.
Don't you hate on my Funyuns, you motherfucker.
I mean, Amanda's got some spicy queso Funyuns in the house, and they taste pretty good.
No. Don't fuck with the OG.
You're a purist. Yeah. Funyuns have to be...
Keep your millennial bullshit to yourself.
It's like fucking Flamin' Hot, man. I can't stand the flavor of Flamin' Hot.
Dude, I can't either. And they're putting that shit in everything
now. Yeah, they got Flamin' Hot fucking jerky now and shit. I just never like the fake cheese flavors. Like, I regular Cheetos are right, but yeah, that Flamin' Hot is just... And I'm a guy who likes spicy, but I just don't like the taste of that shit.
So, how do you feel about spicy dill-pickled flavored vodka?
Those are three words that don't sound like they should go together.
It's interesting.
Oh, it's like a pickleback, but with Tabasco in it. This sounds not good.
I tried some just to say I tried it, and I don't know. I'm not a vodka fan, but
I mean, we do have some
behind
pickle.
Spicy and dill pickle. I'm like, I can almost fucks with this.
I've seen a tobacco flavored vodka. I've heard it was disgusting. I saw it.
See, there's not like, if I want tobacco, I'm gonna get tobacco, because like even the vapes and shit that claim they're tobacco flavored, like no,
it's like kind of anything that's supposed to be bacon flavored. I mean, all they do is pour a shitload of liquid smoke in it, and like, this does not taste like bacon. This tastes like liquid smoke. I'm drinking an ashtray.
I'm not drinking an ashtray, bro.
But supposedly from, yeah, and of course they trap the big bad, knock its horns back off, and now the whole town is, it seems like the town hates them, and then like every once in a while they're like, all right, the Ghostbusters saved us, they're popular again. And of course, the mayor tries to come and shut them down, but now like the whole city's like, yeah, the Ghostbusters. And somebody even like, they're like, yeah, why don't you give them props this time, dickless? I'm like, yeah, somebody said the thing. So now the mayor, of course, he's a politician, has to be like, all right, yeah, the Ghostbusters are all right with me.
Keep your firehouse. Do it. Shake the hands. Kiss the babies.
Yeah. And, yeah, even, yeah, Finn gets to drive the, Trevor gets finally gets to drive the Ecto-1. Again, because he's been grounded from driving Ecto-1 apparently since he did it in the last movie.
So by and large, like most of the skits wrapped up, except what's next?
Well, Winston has that speech that like, hey, there's people all probably all over the world now experiencing weird paranormal shit. And who are you going to call? Like, we're here. Like, do we get like, because I've heard like supposedly Aykroyd and Reitman have written another script for another possible movie. And I've heard interviews with Ernie Hudson saying that he kind of wants to be like a Nick Fury type character that's kind of mentors all these like we might get like international Ghostbusters. Like, I'd love to see me and like the boys like investigating a fucking castle in Europe and shit, you know. Like, do we go worldwide now and like hey, we've got a whole like Ghostbusters Incorporated where, you know, the Spanglers are running the New York firehouse, but now we've got firehouses in like these different countries tracking down like, you know, spectral shit in other nations and stuff. But they franchise
the
out the
Spanish
Ghostbusters.
Spanglers.
We get like, you know, Ecto-1 Mexico City. We get like Ecto like.
Hold on, Ecto-1 in Mexico City. I'm trying to envision it now. So it's got 13-inch rims, hydraulics.
I was gonna go with like an El Camino.
On hydraulics.
We get Middle East Ghostbusters, and they're driving like Toyota Hiluxes with like fucking proton blasters in the bed of the truck.
So disappointed we don't get the Hilux in the U.S.
Egyptian Ghostbusters, and they're like, you know, having to bust mummies and shit. Like go worldwide with this,
dude.
Shit.
It'd be like the Mummy all over again.
I mean, we did get a post-credit scene, which traditionally those tell you what's going to happen in the next movie. Like in the Ghostbusters Afterlife, you see Ecto-1 returning to New York and a kind of a caution light flashing on the containment unit. This one, we get a bunch of Stay Puft Mini-Man stealing a Stay Puft Marshmallow truck. Do they somehow reconstitute and we get a full-size Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the next movie?
I don't know, but them being an 18-wheeler, I'm like, this is so Resident Evil right now. Instead of zombies, it's Stay Puft.
They start putting themselves inside Twinkies, and then people eat them, and they get possessed by little Stay Puft men. We get like a whole like Stay Puft zombie apocalypse.
There's an epidemic of constipation.
all these campers are turning evil because they were roasting marshmallows and got possessed by tiny marshmallow men.
I think that would be a fun, quirky film. At the same time, I kind of feel like it'd be like Gremlins. Oh, you had water after midnight, did ya?
Oh. I mean, I still like Paul Rudd in this. He's such a likable dude. Like, anything Paul Rudd's in is like, I'm like, all right, I don't care if his character's stupid or not. It's like, I just love watching Paul Rudd do Paul Rudd things. Because Paul Rudd is pretty much just Paul Rudd in, like, every movie. Whether he's Ant-Man or Ghostbuster, it's just Paul.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd. Oh. I mean, overall, I enjoyed this movie.
It
wasn't as cohesive as Afterlife, but it was fun. I would like maybe just a little bit more cohesion in the storyline. Because I felt like everybody was getting side quests and not getting like a whole lot of like focus. So, yeah, like you said, I'd like to see more ghost busting. Could we got like maybe one instant of them responding to a ghost, and then the rest of the time it's them fighting the big bad. But yeah, I said there's probably still more thing to do with this story. I wouldn't mind a third installment of the next gen Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. Lines got really blurred for me on this one between, you know, Ghostbusters and Stranger Things and...
I would like to see Reitman come back and direct, because, like I said, I know he was involved in the writing of this, but yeah, I would have loved to seen him kind of lead the way like he did in the previous film, because that one was like... I wanted more of the original Ghostbusters in it, but as far as the story we got, I was satisfied with it. I thought it was a good story. And like I said, it made you sad in all the right places.
Well, I'm sad that this segment's over.
So what do you think of the wasabi here?
You know, for it to be a Candela, I was kind of surprised. Like, I mean, I know like it was touted as it's spicy, but like... I was pleasantly like, I didn't get any of the grassiness or anything that I typically get with the Candela wrapper, maybe because I was like, my tongue is spicy. My lips are spicy. My nostrils are spicy. Like, dude, it's legit got my nose running and stuff right now. Like,
yeah, because I'm not a huge fan of that Candela grassiness, but the thing is so fucking peppery. I'm not getting a whole lot of that that grass. So it's like, and I do like the old, was it Diablo Picante? Like, I'd like a pepper bomb. This is actually not a bad cigar. I'm pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too often that we smoke anything from Espinosa. I don't know. Now I want sushi.
All right, well then, I guess we'll end this and we'll go get some gas station sushi.
Fuck yeah. I want a white dragon and a red dragon.
And with that, we'll be right back. It's time for some science.
Yeah, science.
We're going to build some proton packs.
Are you going to tell me how to watch the eclipse?
eclipse so hard. I put on my steampunk goggles.
I just went to a car meetup. I saw a bunch of eclipses.
Fucking Fast and Furious shit. Oh, well, Florida man got hit by, was attacked by aliens.
I mean, that sounds very plausible for a Florida man.
Well, apparently NASA is now analyzing if an object that crashed through a house in Florida was actually garbage from the International Space Station.
I mean, I heard about, like, the object crashing through, and I thought they, you know, was that the official cover-up story? Oh, it's trash from the space station, this, like, dude, imagine, like, you're just driving down the highway, and, like, fuck, a piece of metal just rains out of the sky, like.
Well, apparently, NASA, well, a whole, what they're calling a pallet, but this pallet weighed like 2.6 tons of discarded batteries from the International Space Station. The original plan back in 2021 was they were just going to release this, and it should, you know, release it into orbit, and in a few years it should slow down and burn up in the atmosphere. And, you know, no harm, no foul. So Houston commanded the Canada Arm 2 robotic arm to release the external pallet loaded with old nickel hydrogen batteries into Earth orbit. Well, apparently, it you know, they thought it would just burn up harmlessly in the atmosphere, but it did not. And supposedly...
damn it, atmosphere! Like, we probably shouldn't have dropped several thousand pounds of shit from the sky.
Apparently a half ton of the original 2.6 did survive the atmospheric burn and came down on top of someone's house in Naples, Florida. No one was injured, but you know, NASA put out a tweet that was like, hey,
we'll no longer drop stuff from the sky now.
Equipment from the pallet re-entered at 1929 over the Gulf of Mexico between Cancun and Cuba. This previous predicted window was a little bit higher northeast than what they thought would path would likely hit, and actually wound up around Fort Myers, Florida. Well, someone saw this tweet and was like, hey, yeah, something crashed through my roof. This may be some of that shit. And so now NASA has collected whatever debris crashed through this dude's house. And is
so are you the most lucky guy or the most unlucky guy? Considering there's all this body of water this could have landed into. But, I mean, you know, that just goes to show, like...
This is like a Florida man, like, origin story. I was hit by radioactive space debris and got Florida man powers. I'm now part alligator, part meth. Florida man.
But... I don't know. Like,
or at the same time, someone's like, space debris fell through my house. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Florida man. I'm like, no, seriously, NASA's dropping shit on my house. No one will believe him because he's Florida man.
What about Florida gender fluid person? That they would believe.
Yeah, you gotta get your story right. Well, as long as we're talking about NASA, you know, there's a big question I know that's on everyone's mind. If you fart in space, will anyone smell it? What does the universe smell like?
Farts?
Some places do, apparently. So, astronauts have reported that the International Space Station, you know, doesn't smell too good. That, you know, but, you know, they've noticed, like, particular odors when, I guess, doors are open to the outside. And they described it as metallic, like welding fumes and gunpowder, and even the smell of seared steak has been reported in space. But basically, new kind of technology has been able to analyze the compositions of different atmospheres and different planets that we're able to detect these things from, and they're, you know, like, all right, these chemicals that we detected should smell like this, so... Apparently, the moon smells like spent gunpowder.
Let's go to the moon.
So, yeah, there, and even some people have had...
So it is a smoked cheese.
Yeah, smoked cheese. But yeah, and apparently even astronaut one by the name of Schmidt had an allergic reaction to moon dust had like severe like asthmatic reaction to exposure to moon dust. So you could be allergic to the moon. Other planets have atmospheres that contain hydrogen, aluminum, helium, carbon dioxide, and methane. So there's your planets that are going to smell like farts. And other planets have kind of cyanide in their atmosphere, so they would smell like almonds, but they would kill you if you try to breathe any of it.
It's like, this planet smells like death and decay. Well, no, the planet doesn't. That's just all the death and decay surrounding it.
And some of these, like, big, like, nebula clouds and stuff are made up primarily of ethyl formylate, which is, would have a smell similar to rum. So there'd be some rum galaxies out there. That's where all the space pirates end up.
Hell yeah. I want to go to a rum planet.
We're going to the rum galaxy. Well, speaking of rum and the effects of it, for some of us that may have a history of drinking, new human trials could make artificial livers using lymph nodes.
I mean, my liver gets a pretty good workout. It's going to last forever.
Yeah, so the first human trials have been started with a technique where they're trying to turn lymph nodes into livers. So in a medical first, they have a patient basically using their own lymph nodes, which regenerate. Dr. Michael Hunford, co-founder and CEO of Ligenesis, the company behind the treatment, stated, "The treatment works by taking the main functioning cells from donated liver, known as hepatocytes, and injecting them into lymph nodes. And basically, as the lymph nodes regenerate, it starts kind of taking on characteristics of the liver. Because lymph nodes filter your blood system for foreign objects like viruses and infections. That's why they swell up when you're sick. Well, they kind of can be taught to filter out the things that you're liver fills out. So as as the lymph nodes are injected with the liver cells, they grow and divide and hook up with the circulatory system and then basically turn into tiny livers. So far the procedure has been successful in animal tests, and this is our first tested out on pigs, and now we are entering the first human trials. So far the human participant is healing nicely, and so They're hopeful that this will turn out to be something that can be used in the future.
In the future!
My lymph nodes, livers. Just in time for Dragon Con.
Does that lead to lymph liver?
My liver's limping. Oh, and lastly, invisibility cloaks are now available. Go hide.
Except for the person standing behind you, right? Or does it give you like a 360 degree?
Well, pretty much is only one way. So if anyone sees from the other side, you're going to see you hunkered down behind this shield. So British startup has basically, it's Invisibility Shield Co. released their first generation shields back in 2022, and now they are releasing a Kickstarter to fund the next generation of shields that are a lot more, because the first ones were kind of blurry, where this one gives you a much cleaner image, and basically it just kind of creates an optical dead zone that, as long as you're standing directly behind the shield, they see the things that would be behind you and not you.
I want to try one out.
They have, like I said, the person behind the shield is standing in this kind of like narrow dead zone where light is bent around them. So everything that's beyond that person appears as normal. But part of this Kickstarter is you can order some of these, pre-order some of these shields. So bring up the Kickstarter because, yeah, it's going on for another 46 days. They've already got $133,000 of the $12,000 they needed. So, yeah, this is definitely going to happen if you want to get in on it. And they come in various sizes. Let me bring up the sizes here. Yeah, so for $69, you can get a mini invisibility shield, which is 12 by 7 inches. For $378, you get the full-size shield, which is 39.4 inches by 20, so basically about 3 foot. Then there is the, what they're calling the mega shield, which will cost you, run you about $883, which is 6 foot by 48 inches. And the mega shield plus, which is, again, like whatever, 6 by 48, but you get like an extra shield. So yeah, it comes, and then the for $1,000 or $1,200, you can get a mega shield and a full size shield. So if you got the money to spend, there's some deals on invisibility shields to be had. Links to the Kickstarter will be in the show notes. But that's all I got for you this week.
What is it made out of?
It's, and also, like I said, the previous version was made out of like layered material, where this one is being extruded from a single piece, making the image much clearer.
I'm also wondering about the weight of them. Like, how heavy is said shield? Like, I have an invisibility shield, but it weighs 100 pounds.
No, they look like they're made out of some kind of plastic. It's probably, you know, and they also, like, I guess, break down, where you can kind of assemble it in. It says, you know, despite their size, the new shields have been designed to pack down as small as 1/30th of their assembled size, allowing people to easily take them anywhere. So, according to this, they don't
Surprise,
say exactly
motherfucker.
What they weigh, but yeah, they say so apparently they're definitely like, man-portable.
Yeah, cool. I just need a mini.
Yeah, just
instead
all
of doing the
they,
sensor bars, I'm just going to make those parts invisible, and that's going to be my new costume.
Yeah, the shield uses lenses to redirect light reflected from the background and the person standing behind. Because the person behind the shield is narrower than the generated background, the vertical orientation of the lenses mean the light reflected from them becomes more diffused when spread out by the lenses, reflecting the light from the wider background. But yeah, nothing about what it's actually made out of. I guess that's probably, you know, corporate secrets. But yeah, it appears to be some kind of fancy plastic. And just the shape of it is redirecting lights in a weird way. But that's all I got for you. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
Hi, this is Siri. I would never, never, ever listen to the Earth Station 1 podcast. Who the heck says howdy anyway? Why don't you listen to Chris Hardwick instead? I can get you his information. The Nerdist is everywhere anyway, haha. That was a joke. The Earth Station 1 podcast. It's time to let your inner geek out to play. You can find them at www.earthstation1.com or up on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Peace, and we're done.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news!
All right, we got some late-breaking trailers for you. I'm just going to jump right into it. Star Wars Tales of the Empire coming out May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Dude, this looks dark. Like, this might be the first time I've seen blood in Star Wars.
Yeah, they're doing another kind of animated short series. They had Tales of the Jedi last year, which was like a series of short animated stories, and this time we're getting the darker version, some of the, like, the Rise of the Empire shit with whatever that lady from the bad lady from Ahsoka, and also looks like the origins of the Inquisitors too, with whatever Barriss Offee being turned into the dark side.
Yeah, just that, you know, snippet showing Barriss bleeding, and then, you know, Grievous, they are doing a great job making him look more and more menacing.
You mean Thrawn?
Or, yeah, Thrawn. Whoever.
The blue guy.
The blue guy.
Evil Smurf.
That almost segues into something. But I don't know, like, you know, with the shorts and everything else, I mean, you just do away with the movies. Give me all these. Give them all to me.
Yeah, it's like the Disney Plus stuff, Star Wars, has been way better than, like, the theatrical stuff we've gotten.
And it's crazy, too. Like, normally I'm not a fan of, you know, modern animation, but, you know, from the mid-2000s to where we are now, and it's like, holy shit, this, I mean, just I've even been keeps watching the, looking better and better.
The new season of The Bad Batch, and it's been pretty good so far. And even I watched the first couple episodes of that X-Men 97, and it's like, I know it's like modern technology, but it looks like old 90s animation nearly. I'm like, this is like, it looks like, yeah, they just continued the original 90s series. So far, it's pretty badass.
Well, speaking of badass, let's talk about Bad Boys for Life.
Sing me some Reba.
This is going to be coming out on June 7th. This will be our fourth installation into the Bad Boys franchise. And looks like the Cartel's stepping up their framing game.
Yeah, they framed the late Captain Howard, and now the boys gotta go rogue to clear the captain's name. Bad boys, bad boys.
Are they gonna do the thing? They have to do the thing.
They always do the thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is a franchise that, even though it takes us like years and years to get sequels between movies, like, I've never been disappointed by a Bad Boys movie.
I don't know,
Martin,
man.
Martin
Lawrence
and Will Smith together is,
yeah,
just like,
that's just the best such combo. A classic duo.
Even though, like, Martin Lawrence has gotten, like, Will Smith doesn't age. Martin Lawrence has gotten kind of old, but
whatever, bro.
But yeah, I mean, they still look good. Getting, I was like, I can't wait for another version of this.
It's like when you send me to a convenience store. Although,
get
donut and relish. I don't know if I can throw down with that.
Oh, hot dog donuts. That's right. I did see Bojangles had these, like, chicken dogs. It was basically a chicken strip and a hot dog bun with, like, chicken or hot dog toppings on it. I'm like, that looks weird. I don't know if I'm down with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, originally I was like, well, I mean, even though it's a hot dog bun, you know, that's not all that different than a chicken sandwich. But typically, I don't put hot dog toppings on.
Yeah, if it's just a chicken strip and a bun, that'd be just like a weird shaped chicken sandwich. But with the hot dog toppings on it, I'm like, I don't know about that.
But then Wild Wings, like, they've got this fucking mustard sauce. Mustard and hot wings? Not. Like, that's what makes me think I'm not going to like the fucking, you know, relished out chicken with mustard and hot dog top. No.
Yeah,
no.
I've not tried it yet, so I can't report on.
Well, it's terrible. I like yellow mustard, but yellow mustard and hot wings? Like, no. Hot wings got to be saucy. They got to be spicy. They can't just fucking taste like mustard.
Chili on a chicken strip. That could go either way.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I was contemplating, and then I was like, I'm not sure. We got some poster and some promo artwork for the Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series.
Did you ever see that last movie? The newer animated movie? I missed it when it was in theaters. I've not actually sat down and
I don't know. See, like, I started playing some of the newer games from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that hit Game Pass, but I don't know if I don't think I have.
Yeah, I missed it when it was, what is it, Mutant Fury or Mutant Mayhem?
Mutant Mayhem,
was the last movie that came out. But yeah, it looked weird.
Well,
we're going
to definitely have to watch that before we you know, check out the animated series, because this is going to pick up where that movie left off. I guess they become high school students in New York City and will face new perils, reunite with old allies, and face new antagonists as they navigate teenage angst. Well, I mean, that's what the Mutant Ninja Turtles are.
I did see a photo the other day. It was middle-aged Mutant Ninja Turtles, and they were all, like, had dad bods, and were, like, grilling and cutting the grass and shit, doing dad things.
So, for folks interested, this will be on Paramount Plus, coming out sometime in the summer of 2024. Guess what year we're in, Joe?
2024?
Exactly.
Oh, shit.
So, this summer, motherfucker. Moving right along here. Adam Sandler. Not... He's real hit or miss for me. Like, I liked Happy Gilmore. I like Little Nicky. Some of the rest,
I don't know. He's been doing a lot of serious movies lately, and I've not been able to get into any of the, like, uncut gems or like, his more serious films he's been trying to do. But
well, looks like
some comedy. I might be down.
Well, it looks like Adam Sandler's going back to some comedy. Might actually be developing Happy Gilmore 2. Christopher McDonald, who played Shooter McGavin in the original, offered an update claiming that a script has been written. Sandler is now confirming that the sequel is actually in development for Netflix. During an interview promoting new film Spaceman on Netflix, a comedian talked to Dan Patrick on a sports radio show. So I don't know, you know.
Hell yeah.
He's kind of vague, but says yeah, we're working on it. I'd be okay with another Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore was one of the good ones. I could stand returning to that universe.
Yeah. So we'll...
Does Happy go to, like, what's that new shit that's taking over for the PGA? The LIV tournament, like the Saudi golf tournament? Does he go play in Saudi Arabia?
So, yeah, I mean, there's no details or anything else. But we'll see what happens.
He gets banned from the PGA from fighting, so now he has to go... compete in the Saudi tournament.
Oh, God. That might actually be cool, though. We'll see what happens with that. I lost an article. It was there, and then it was gone, and...
Was it Bambi?
Yeah. So, I don't think there's a release date yet. But, you know, I mean, we
new
had
trend of, yeah, turning old
heartfelt things into dark
movies.
And scary things. I mean, we don't really have a big bear population, so I'm not concerned about, you know, cocaine bears. But, you know, fucking...
Meth deer.
Well, I mean, this isn't even meth deer. This is just, like,
Bambi's
I'm out
for
vengeance.
I mean, because so is it they're... We had the blood, Winnie the Pooh, Bud and Honey, and now that the old Steamboat Willie, Mickey Mouse, is in the public domain, suppose there's going to be a Mickey Mouse horror movie coming out, and now we got Bambi.
I mean, I'm okay with that. Like, it's like, I will avenge my mother. Like, I mean, you just see freaking...
Fucking Thumper shows up, and it's like the rabbit from Monty
Python.
Oh,
yeah, they did say there's going to be deer, there's going to be rabbits. Like, you know, it's like, this is a horror movie from all of us folks that live in the woods, you know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Bambi the Reckoning. What we're going to find out is this release, like... 3 years ago, and it's just now starting to get, you know, some traction.
Oh.
But
that's one of the reasons I didn't come up with, like, you know, find that many. I was, like, afraid to look for articles over the last week because there's so much bullshit that pops up during, like, April Fools that it's, like, it's hard to do any, like, legitimate research for that first week of April because you keep finding, like, stuff that was posted on April 1st.
Yeah, so this is definitely going to be a dark retelling of the 1928 Bambi. You know, basically, inspiration of design used in Netflix, The Ritual. Bambi will be a vicious killing machine that lurks in the wilderness. Prepare for Bambi on rabies.
It's like Cujo, but deer.
But this is the guy that did the Winnie the Hoop, or Winnie the Pooh.
Blood and Honey.
Yeah. I guess he's also working on Peter Pan. But apparently, like, so there's no release date yet. And, you know, the other thing is they can't actually use any of the animated stuff or anything from the Bambi movie. So, like, I'm sure it's just going to be pure evil insanity. It's going to be ridiculous, and I'm going to like it.
Somebody buried Bambi in the pet cemetery.
No, Bambi. It's Bambi's mom.
Yeah.
So, any other news, tidbits, anything you want to share with the folks at home?
Well, and, yeah, not to end the show on a down note, but we lost a legend. Lou Gossett Jr. Has recently passed away. You know, we had a pleasure of meeting him at Dragon Con, was it 2 years ago that he was at Dragon Con?
Yeah, I think that was 2 years ago.
But, yeah, I mean, fucking Iron Eagle is, like, one of, like, my favorite 80s movies, like, fucking Chappie Sinclair. I mean, Enemy Mine, whatever, Officer and Gentleman. The dude had a legendary career in a ton of movies, so, yeah. Light up a cigar for Lou Gossett Jr. and go watch some classic 80s movies.
Dude, I completely forgot about Enemy Mine. That's such a great film.
Hell yeah. Maybe we should do, like, a Lou Gossett Jr. episode and go and, like, hit the highlights. But that's all I got for you this week. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on ESO Network at ESOnetwork.com. We're on the Instagram, Facebook, and X at CigarNerdPod. We're on the YouTubes at CigarNerdPodcast. And get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds. Get your shirt at RealMenSmokeCigars.com. And with that, who are you going to call? Bustin' makes me feel good. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.